The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But the others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Often one hears that the game of golf is an attempt to hit a small round ball into a slightly larger hole in the ground several hundred yards away using implements, clubs and sticks, that are completely ill-suited for the task. This might be why golf is so hard and why many would agree with Mark Twain's definition of the game, which he says, "It is a good way to spoil a good walk." However, for those of us who persist in the sport of imperfection, are driven by the hope that and challenge, and we think, well, perhaps if I bought a new $500 driver, that's the stick. Or if I took more lessons from the local golf pro, and perhaps this will be the year I join the PGA. We can dream. And so this font of hope, one of the most famous coaches in the game, Butch Harmon, often said that the secret to a good golf swing is finding the grip pressure needed to hold the club properly. Hold the club too tightly and it will fly out of your hand when it hits the ball or comes to the end of the swing. Hold the club too tightly, the muscles in your hands and arms and shoulders will tighten, and you lose flexibility, loss of power, and the loss of a proper swing arc, thus ending up with sore muscles and missing shots that go 50 yards to the right or 50 yards to the left, but nevertheless they're in the rough or in the lake. This same principle, however, believe it or not, can be applied to life, this idea of gripping things just right. If we take our life too lightly, we risk throwing it away. It slips out of our hands. If we grip life too tightly, we risk missing the whole point of life. The secret is in balance. Reading any of the four Gospels, it is clear that Jesus loved his human life and embraced it fully. So much so that some of his detractors often mocked him for being a glutton, a person who partied too much with the riffraff of the town. Perhaps they thought Jesus' grip on life was too loose. However, Jesus always had a lap to bounce a young child on, or often embraced and or healed those who were considered outcasts. He told many parables to turn people's minds. Jesus was always concerned for the health and well-being of everyone he met and for those who asked for his help. He thought of life as a gift from God his Father that should be cherished in the service of God's children. Those of us who follow him should take note. Our lives are precious to God and precious to us. However, teenagers who threaten their life by drugs and other careless activities are holding life too lightly. Adults who throw away their lives by health or spiritual destroying habits and addiction are perhaps holding also their life too loosely. Jesus was not reckless with his life. It did not fly out of his hands by accident. However, though, for most of us, our sense of self-preservation is very strong. We don't need anyone to tell us to grip life tighter. When disaster alerts are sounded, we line up in front of home improvement stores and grocery stores to stack up on duct tape, bottled water, building supplies, and food. We build bunkers and safe rooms in which to hide from dangers or move away from our homes. We lock our doors, we guard our wallets, avoid strangers, stay away from dark streets and seedy parts of town. Most of us are in no danger of gripping life too tightly, but we are gripping it too tightly. So have we come to the idea that self-preservation is the highest value of life? Our upbringing taught us to be careful in certain situations, and rightly so, but have we gone overboard? Do we believe you can't be too careful? When we love our life more than we love God, when earthly life becomes more meaningful than eternal life, have we become too careful? Have we gripped life too tightly? Jesus teaches us that life is not a measure of how many breaths you take, but by those moments that your breath was taken away. Life is meant to be lived and not just protected and prolonged. Life is a framework for loving relationships, service to other people and the world, and for worshiping God. If we retreat into our bunkers of fear, we miss the whole point of life, the whole reason God gave his life to begin with. Jesus gave up his life on the cross because he loved his Father more than he loved his life. Is there anything we love more than life itself? Is there anything or anyone for which we would sacrifice our next breath for? If not, perhaps we are gripping life too tightly. For Jesus, the path to the cross was not an impulsive act, like diving in front of a car to save your child's life. It was a decision, a choice, a commitment. He could see the momentum of destiny coming his way long before anyone else could see it. He could have chosen, however, another way, a safer way, an easier way, an easier life, if his goal had been for self-preservation. The fullness, however, of Jesus' life was not for a longer life, but it was a deeper life, a life with significance and contributions, obedience and love. And those values led him to the cross. He loved his Father, and he loves us more than he loves his own life. And so, not too tight or not too loose, we need to find a balance for the strength of our grip on our own lives. We need to develop a grip that allows us to live for others, but precious enough to die for them. When we have reached this point, then perhaps our lives are truly aligned with Christ. God bless.